KNOM Update News. I'm Matthew Smith, and it's 9:02. Alaska voters will be deciding on whether or not to reestablish a coastal management program in the state today. Ballot Measure 2 appears on today's primary ballot. The fight has become the most expensive campaign in Alaska this election. More than $1.7 million has been raised, most of that by the opposition group known as Vote No on 2. The measure seeks to reestablish a coastal management program in the state. Alaska had a program for decades. It ended last year after the legislature and Governor Sean Parnell failed to come to terms on its reauthorization. Opponents of the initiative say that while they're not against Alaska having a coastal management program, they are against this proposal in particular, which they say could hinder development. Supporters say the proposal would give the state a meaningful say on federal decisions affecting Alaska's coastal areas. Also on the ballot today, the primary race between Neil Foster and Woody Salmon for House District 39. You can hear an interview from each of the candidates on the news page of KNOM.org. Yesterday saw the conclusion of the 2012 Arctic Imperative Summit, the second annual gathering of business and governmental leaders looking at future development and shipping in Arctic waters. KNOM's Lorelei Kinnean has the story.
Much of yesterday's discussion centered around the Bering Sea, increased Arctic shipping, and infrastructure projects and needs in Alaska. Summit host Alice Rogoff said the heart and soul of why the conference is held in Alaska is because the Arctic often means the Bering Sea, and it means transportation. Yesterday morning, 95 vessels carrying more than 1,500 people were underway in the American Arctic. With development and an increase in shipping, Alaska Department of Transportation Commissioner Mark Lucan summed up what many speakers touched on: the need for an active and adaptive Arctic policy.
Well, I would wager that most of the people in Lower 48 fail to realize that the U.S. is an Arctic nation, rich in resources, oil and gas, fish, minerals, and culture. It is the Arctic that will play a critical role in national security, national energy security, national military security, and economic development for years to come.
Commissioner Lucan said, again, what many would agree on: Alaska lacks infrastructure and is in need of an Arctic port. The northernmost deepwater port is in Unalaska, much too far south for the Coast Guard to respond to an event in Arctic waters. And while attendees heard from the likes of the president of the Alyeska Pipeline Service Company, NOAA executives, the managing director of Cargo Metrics, and representatives from Alaska State Legislature, much of the morning discussion was led by subsistence lifestyle advocates from the Bering Strait region. Chairman of the Alaska Eskimo Whaling Commission, George Nungwuk, spoke of more needs in Alaska. He said while the topics of discussion have been important to all stakeholders involved, the discussions are more critical to the people he represents. He said it is in the commission's interest to be sure developers do it right. To show his willingness to aid in sustainable and safe development, he shared lessons he's learned from hunting and gathering from the Bering Sea.
The greatest human undertakings are small and fragile, very fragile. So when you live in the Arctic, you learn to wait for the opportunities that nature gives you. We know how to wait. This year, our friends at Shell are learning how to wait for the sea ice to move. Because nature is so unforgiving in the Arctic, you also have to be adaptable to survive.
He spoke further, saying to developers that if you think you can control nature, nature will surprise you. Nungwuk and who he described as friends, Vera Metcalf from the Eskimo Walrus Commission and former president of the Native Village of Diomede, Patrick Omiak Sr., all spoke about the need for their voices to be heard when creating Arctic policy. With the announcement just yesterday that Arctic sea ice this summer hit a record low, and with the opening Arctic Ocean, much of the discussion the past few days has been centered around developing the Arctic sustainably. In his closing remarks, former North Slope Borough Mayor Edward Itta said the federal government must develop oil and gas while honoring Native cultural values. He said it must be understood that there are two types of currency. One is cash, and one is the subsistence way of life.
Assuming that we can agree that subsistence is not just a buzzword and has actual value, which it does to us, it has actual value, then we can start to talk seriously.
It is said he believes ANCSA, motivated by the Prudhoe Bay oil discovery and the construction of the oil pipeline, largely succeeded in giving Alaska Natives a fair trade. He said the same principles also need to be included in the next great wave of oil development. The 2012 Arctic Imperative Summit concluded yesterday. In his closing remarks, Iceland President Ragnar Grímsson said a global Arctic summit is needed on an annual basis. Reporting in Girdwood, I'm Lorelei Kinnean.
To hear more from the former North Slope Borough Mayor, Edward Itta, listen to Profiles after the 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. weather. For these stories and more, you can also visit the news page of knom.org. At last night's brief meeting of the Nome City Council, the discussion revolved around how the city plans to spend $200,000 from Norton Sound Economic Development Corporation, the mid-year distribution of the community benefit share, the first of its kind, according to NSEDC's letter to the mayor, stipulates that the money must be doled out in a public process with $100,000 for community priorities and the final $100,000 spent on youth activity programs. Annie Conger, a bilingual teacher at Nome Elementary, used the public comment period to request $12,000 to support the bilingual programs in Nome Public Schools.
I am asking for help so that we can teach our kids the importance of our culture through language, native crafts, and to help with travel for conferences that will benefit the kids. Please consider us candidates for this year's contribution. Yana.
Mitch Erickson proposed the entire benefit share be used on a new multi-use facility by the rec center that could be used for winter and summer sports, including hockey and skating. Citing the maintenance work that Erickson and other members of the Nome Hockey Club put into the upkeep of their outdoor rink, he said such a facility would be beneficial to kids and versatile for the community.
For every hour skating, it's usually 3 to 4 hours per person, and it'd be nice to have a facility up there that would just keep the wind and the rain out and would be used by many, many groups. And I could see even having the Midnight Sun Festival there.
The council asked both speakers for detailed written proposals. A decision on how to use the funds has been delayed until the public has an opportunity to provide input. A special session for the public to provide that input has been scheduled for next Wednesday, September 5th. Statoil is inching closer to exploratory drilling in Alaska's Chukchi Sea. The only question is when, and Statoil says no sooner than 2015. A delegation from the Norwegian oil company held a public meeting in Nome last night. Operating on 16 leases acquired in a 2008 lease sale and partnering with ConocoPhillips on another 50 leases, the company's potential drill sites sit about 113 miles northwest of Wainwright. While company representatives reiterated that Statoil's plans to drill in the Chukchi might never come to fruition, a presentation by Lars Sunda, Statoil's exploration manager in Alaska, displayed optimism about Alaska's role in the company's future.
Alaska is an important emerging area for Statoil. We are confident from the Norwegian waters and the Norwegian Arctic. We feel that our technology and knowledge level is a very good fit for Alaska.
Statoil conducted field work in the Chukchi Sea beginning in 2010, completing 2D and 3D seismic testing of the seafloor geology. They also took soil core samples to get a sense of the stability of the seafloor for a jackup rig. In his presentation, Sunda detailed plans for one exploration well and 1 to 2 appraisal wells drilled at depths between 115 to 145 feet. A mobile offshore drilling rig or a jackup rig would be used along with a contingent of support ships and oil spill response vessels. The company says they only plan to drill during the open water season in ice-free conditions. Even with these plans, Sunde says schedules are far from firm.
What we're doing is to plan an execution of a drilling program. We don't know when that might take place. It will not be earlier than 2015, maybe later. But we want to do a very thorough job in understanding all the challenges that are associated with operating in the Arctic and make sure that we do this properly.
if they drill and if they find oil. Statoil favors building a pipeline to deliver the oil to market. While such decisions are years, likely decades away, the company says they would partner with other oil companies on such a project. Statoil opened its Anchorage office in 2009 and has held over 120 meetings on their Chukchi plans this year. The company's visit to Nome, their second so far this year, was sponsored by the Nome Chamber of Commerce. And taking a look at gold prices in New York this hour, gold prices were up $5.80, trading at $1,670.40 an ounce. Silver was up 16 cents to $30.98 an ounce. The price of zinc was at 83 cents a pound. And Alaska Airlines Flight 151 left Kotzebue around 8:23 this morning and is expected in Nome around 9:12, due to depart around 9:57. It's unofficially 46 degrees outside the KNOM station, 13 minutes past 9 o'clock.